Okay, let's do this fucking shit.
Man, looks like Roberto froze up. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining us. Another episode of Sitting Ringside, episode 209. We have a very special guest joining us tonight, Roberto Villa.
Hey, I'm back. Sorry about that. Had a quick glitch on the Matrix, or in the Matrix, whatever you want to call it.
Hey, glitches are for bitches, bro.
What's up, y'all? This is episode number 209. As always, I am Robert Villa, and with me, Rudy Lara, Mark Ambu Miller, and Joey Jenrett. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Oh, you know, another Thursday night hanging out with the boys. We have our special co-host, Mr. Joey, filling in for Mr. David Rodriguez. He's out working right now, so.
I'm sorry, I ain't got no R's in my name for you to roll, dog.
It's all good. I'll make something up.
We'll call you Joey Rodriguez.
Yeah, there you go. Joey Rodriguez.
There you go. That sounds sexy.
Yeah, buddy. All right, guys. We have a packed show tonight. We have a fucking badass guest on our show tonight. If you've been living under a rock and don't know who this is, then
you've been living under a rock. If you don't know who this is,
you've been living under a rock. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel sorry for you. We have Shannon the Cannon Rich. This guy is a legend in the sport. Can't wait to talk to him. He is ready to jump on. So let's make this quick. Quick shout out to HKA USA. Go to HKAUSA.com. Show your support to them as they show support to us and to fighters. Also to the streaming partners, Triller TV, Flow Combat, ESPN Plus, DAZN, and MMA TV. Also, if you guys want to get some awesome supplements, go to Foxhound Fuel, foxhoundfuel.com. You can click the QR code right there and get a good, healthy discount, 20% off every single purchase when you use our discount code FBMMA in all caps. Also, to the fellas, you want to buy some very comfortable underwear, go to my boy's website, John Tyler, johntyler.com. Use our discount code also and click that QR code for 20% off your entire purchase. Fight book in all caps. Also, Rudy, who else is our one of our supporters?
One of our other sponsors is Shell Shock CBD. 10% off, FBMMA. They have some great products. One product that I really like to plug is the CBD lube. It's only $34.99. I know what you might be thinking. You know, marijuana tends to, you know, get me lazy. But this isn't marijuana, folks. This is CBD. It's going to make you last longer.
Shit, not me.
Wow. There's like 20 people that just scanned that.
Damn.
Amazing.
Let's go.
Amazing.
Let's go. Yeah. And you know what? A lot of our viewership is not from Facebook. It's from X, which is
amazing. We've gotten a ton of viewers from X.
Ton of viewers. Yeah.
I guess all our friends from Russia are finding us.
I cannot get Restream to connect to X to save my life.
Rudy, hook them up. You know what to do, man. Yeah, which is amazing, you know. Yeah, we go live on Facebook and all the other platforms, but X is our number one platform that we get a lot of views, which is amazing. But if you want to comment,
our biggest online supporters before this war in Ukraine was Russia, out of ok.ru, we had like 3,000 viewers every single time we would broadcast.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
But I think they're finding us, bro. They're finding us on X.
Good.
So, yeah, that's amazing. All right, let's do the quick rundown of the events that are happening this weekend. Let's start off first with the MMA, kickboxing, grappling, Muay Thai category. We have PFL 2, the 2024 regular season. Also live, streaming live on Fightbook MMA, the next three events. Fusion Fight League, Tommy McMillan versus Josh Wright. Our friends over there at AKA, AKA 36. And Rudy's favorite promotion, International Sumo League World Championship Sumo.
Hell yeah, Duke. Baby. You know who'll be doing live streaming of that is Michael Bisping. He does it.
Yep. Yep.
Nice.
Also, we have, of course, the big card, UFC 300. And in the boxing bare knuckle slap fighting championships, we have live on DAZN in Las Vegas. We have Jordan Gill versus Zelpha Barrett. And that's a 12-rounder in the junior lightweights. And we have a title fight, Ellie Scottney versus Ségolène Lefebvre. They're fighting for Scottney's IBF women's junior featherweight title.
And women.
Lefebvre's, WBO women's junior featherweight title.
I'm genuinely surprised by that.
Yeah, man.
Because that didn't sound like women.
The next title fight is Rhiannon Dixon versus Karen Elizabeth Carvajal.
Bro, that's why did you emphasize dick?
Swing.
They're fighting for the vacant WBO women's lightweight title. And over there, pretty much the neighbor of Rudy and Corpus Christi, Texas, live on ESPN Plus. Jared Anderson versus Riyad Murray. That's a 12-rounder in the heavyweight. That's the rundown for this weekend.
Hey, bro, you forgot the biggest one, UFC 300. The fuck is wrong with you? Did you?
I mentioned it.
Yes, sir, I did.
Maybe sure. Maybe in a hiccup.
No, I said one of the biggest cards that's going to happen this weekend is UFC 300.
Oh, well.
I got Jamal Hill on the upset, boy.
All right. Well, guys, UFC on ESPN Plus 98, Allen versus Curtis, happened last weekend. What are you guys' thoughts on that card?
A lot of decisions.
Grade it? What do you grade it?
He's a lot of decisions.
I would give it a 6.
Yeah. I'd give it a 6.
That's pretty fair, a 6. Considering all the decisions that we had on that
card. 8 out of the 12 fights were decisions, so that's a lot.
Yeah, it started off real hot. I think it was like two finishes, and then from there, no, it was actually 3 finishes, 2 KOs and submission, and then everything else was a decision.
Yeah.
We got somebody joining us, folks. Roberto? Who's joining us, Roberto?
We have Combat Sports legend, Mr. Shannon the Cannon Rich.
Mr. Shannon Rich. And just so you know, folks, I'm going to go ahead and read something off his Wikipedia page. He's an American professional mixed martial artist, boxer, grappler, professional wrestler, and kickboxer. Mixed martial arts competition, former King of the Cage middleweight champion, inaugural BKFC International heavyweight champion, and bare knuckle boxing professional competitor since 1998. Rich has competed for M1 Global, Combate Americas, MFC, Shark Fights, Pancrase, Battle Arts, K1, BKFC, Pride, Rebel Fighting Championship, New Japan Pro Wrestling, King of the Cage, Gladiator Challenge, Heart Legacy Wrestling, and the WEC. My goodness, is there anything this man cannot do? He's also an actor, has over 158 MMA bouts. I don't even know how many kickboxing fights you've had, but it's insane, man. Welcome to the show.
What's up, guys?
What up? Shannon.
What an entrance, man. Is that it? That's all it says on Wikipedia?
there's a lot more, trust me.
I'm sure there's more that they couldn't fit on.
They ran out of room.
I was watching highlights of you today, and all I can say is fuck Brandon Schaub.
Yeah, I know, right? Jeez, man. That guy, I gave him a chance. He didn't want none, so, you know, whatever. He lied.
You've been fighting with since like 2 years or 3 years before the UFC, right?
I did. I started fighting in 1991. It was back then. It was bare knuckle fighting. No rules, no rounds, no weight classes, obviously. And we go down to Mexico and they'd have the chicken fights and dog fights and the people would fight. So, I mean, yeah, since 1991 doing the Vale Tudo, no rules fighting. And then this thing came in 1993 called the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And I saw it on TV, man, and I was like, oh, my God, what is this? I got to do this. So I found a way to get in around some UFC fighters, and lo and behold, they took me under their wing, and here we are.
What class? What weight class did you start out at?
Man, I used to fight at 155. I wasn't even 155. I was like 140 pounds, and the only weight class was 155, 170, 185, and 205, and then heavyweight, obviously. But, yeah. At the beginning, there was 170, 205, and heavyweight. There wasn't even an 85 or a 55. So, yeah, it was tough. There was only three weight classes at one time when it first started.
Nice.
Wow. That's amazing, man. You're
somebody's at the door.
Yeah, my dogs.
Shannon, you know, we've been a huge fan of yours for a longest time, man. We've been following your career forever.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. So it was when I reached out and I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if Shannon wants to jump on our podcast. And when you said yes, I was like, hell yes.
You guys did forget to mention that. Okay, so let me backtrack this. There was a guy who had actually more fights than me, but he's dead now, so we don't talk about him. So out of all the living fighters, out of all the living MMA fighters in the world, I have the most fights out of any living fighter. And that was kind of cool because I didn't really recollect until John McCarthy, Big John, grabbed a hold of me one day. We're at a UFC and he's like, Shannon, so you're now number one. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you have the most fights out of any living fighter. And I was like, wow, you're right. I do. So it's me, Dan Severn, then Travis Fulton, then Jeremy Horn. So it's kind of cool.
That's an insane statistic. Insane.
It is.
How does that make you feel? Fights.
You know what? It's cool because it's legend status. You know what I mean? I didn't get to fight in the UFC. So when kids ask me, hey, are you a UFC fighter? I say no. But I am a pride fighter. You know, I fought everything else. MMA, I'm a legend. I've done it all. I've literally fought a who's who of MMA. Didn't always win. But, dude, I got 32 titles, 8 world titles, bare knuckle boxing world title. You know, I've put in my time. I paid my dues and I paved the way for a lot of these other guys. I consider myself one of the first guys, you know, that helped grow the sport because, you know, guys like me and several others, you know, when the pay-per-view stopped with the UFC, you got to remember there was a dark period that all the commissions were ready to shut it down here in Arizona. Yep. John McCain was threatening to arrest people. I mean, there was a time that if you fought MMA, or at the time it was NHB, no holds barred, if you fought, then they were going to arrest you and put you in jail. So, you know, if it wasn't for guys like me, and, you know, a couple other guys, hey, man, the sport would have died. So I think all these new guys, the new school guys should say, hey, thanks for all these old guys that helped pave the way for us.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, that's like you said, you know, that's legend status on its own, you know, for you being now number one, which is, you know, it's amazing, you know, that you have all these fights under your belt and you're still continuing to fight. You're still fighting. You're still in phenomenal shape, you know, and you have something coming up here pretty soon, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so pretty cool.
Tell us a little bit about that story, man.
So I got a phone call from Quentin Jackson, and Quentin said, hey, I'm going to be fighting Shannon Briggs over in Qatar in the Middle East. We're doing a 10-round boxing match. Would you like to fight on the card? And I said, well, first of all, boxing, MMA, or what? Because, you know, I'm kind of done at MMA. My body's banged up. I said, but I'll throw my hands. And he goes, yeah, we want you to box. I said, cool. Who would be the opponent? He goes, well, there's a guy that fought on The Ultimate Fighter. His name is Daryl Schoenauer. Would you like to fight him? I said, absolutely, 100%. Let's go. So we're going to fight June 8th in Qatar, in the Middle East, Doha. And I'm going to be on the fight card. You know, so I've been training at Old School Boxing here in Phoenix, Arizona. Literally like one of the only white guys in the gym. And man, it's a lot of fun, man. It got my love for fighting again. You know, I got that fire again. So I was walking around almost 240 pounds. I'm walking a lean 217 right now, just
Jeez.
In shape, man. This is the best shape I've been in God, man, probably 20 years. So I'm in great shape right now. I'm ready to rock and roll. I got that fire again. I'm ready to
What's
go.
That what's that regimen look like?
Man, it's strength and conditioning in the morning. You know, I got old man Billy is my coach. He's coached quite a few guys, and you know, he does strength and conditioning. So old man Billy's my coach for that. And then I come home, I eat lunch, take a nap, I hang out, you know, watch TV, do whatever, and then jump in the hot tub. That man, the hot tub is great at my age. Gotta love the hot tub. And then I go to old school boxing in the afternoon. I do a couple hours in there. Usually do about 24, 26 rounds. And and it's a grind. I'll tell you, it's a grind. Yeah, the cardio, man. The fat just fell off me, man. It's great. Having a good time.
Yeah, I gotta do something, man. I'm 6'6", 315. I'm trying to get down about 285.
Stop drinking beer.
All right, I'm out. Hey,
we lost Joey.
You guys did mention I was doing some acting, so I started.
We'll talk about that too.
Yeah, man, I got my SAG card. So, you know, I started off doing some TV shows, Walker, Texas Ranger. Mm-hmm. Hats off to Carlos Machado. Carlos Machado is the one that got me into acting years ago. I do Walker, Texas Ranger. And then that transitioned to iCarly Numbers, Walker, CSI Las Vegas, Ultimate Soldier Challenge on History Channel, you know, a bunch of TV shows. And then, you know, I finally broke in and I got my SAG card. And now I'm a full-fledged actor. I do stunts, acting. And, man, I've made 20 films already. I got about 9 more getting ready to come up this summer. I've worked with Mel Gibson, Mickey Rourke, Michael Jai White, Frank Grillo, Kevin Dillon, Bruce Willis. I mean, I've done some great stuff. Got a big show, a big movie coming out. With Mel Gibson, it's called Boneyard. So keep an eye out for that. That'll be ready to come out. But if you look on YouTube right now, or Tubi, or Hulu, or Netflix, there's one called The Commando, and another one called A Day to Die. It's the second one, Bruce Willis. Last movie.
I saw that one. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So yeah. Hey, these are no Academy Award movies, but guys, it's fun, man. Have a good time.
Hey, you're still in a movie, man.
Still in a movie, you know.
and you're acting with the greatest.
It is. It's kind of cool, you know. I'm from Coolidge, Arizona. Go Bears. You know, a little small town. We had 3 stoplights growing up. I wanted to be a movie star. You know, everybody wants to be a movie star growing up, and it's kind of cool. You sit back. I was just watching TV the other day, and I was scrolling through Tubi, and that was like 4 of my movies are on there. It's kind of cool to be able to say, hey, look, there's a movie I made.
That's freaking awesome.
It's pretty interesting.
So I stopped watching for, I don't remember how many years though, but for the CSI, how is that? Because that used to be like my jam, man.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to watch CSI. Was fun,
man. That was a good one. Yeah. Yeah, I used to like it. I got to be on an episode with a professional wrestler named Matt Wisey. He used to go by the name of Luther Reigns. Luther Reigns was the main guy, and it was a MMA-based type underground fighting, so I didn't really get to act too much. I got to play myself, but it was really cool. You know, Soka Drew was in it. A couple guys from the WWE were in it. So, yeah, that was a good time, man. They treated us really good.
Yeah, CSI, which was CSI Miami, that one too. That one,
I used to watch. I didn't like that one.
No.
Nah,
Las Vegas, though. That one is the best.
Las Vegas was the shit now.
But what do you guys watch now? Seriously, man, we've got 4 guys here. What's your go-to show now? I mean, does everybody have a show that you watch now?
I don't watch TV.
You don't watch TV at all?
I watch old shows just over and over now.
I used to watch a lot of TV, but then I had children. And then I sat down with my wife. I was like, hey, let's watch this this Netflix show, The History of Bad Words. And you know, the monologue was Nick Cage, and the first word they come out with is fuck. And my daughter, she was barely learning to read, and we had a tendency of turning on the subtitles because you know the kids are loud, so
yeah,
she started,
can't hear it without,
turns
the
around
subtitles.
And she just says fuck, and I was like, oh no, that's it. And then we tried watching another movie around her, and she, I think it was like The Exorcist or something, and she like freaked out, and I was like, I can't watch movies around. I can't watch TV. I just really don't watch TV anymore.
Oh my God. What about you guys?
I watch murder porn.
No, like the last show I watched was the Lincoln Lawyer. Like that.
Then my go-to is Survivor. I like watching Survivor. Farmer Wants a Wife and all the Housewives, man. Housewives on Bravo. I'm a Bravo guy, man. I love Housewives. What? Housewives of New Jersey.
I don't picture you man. Watching Housewives. You know what?
Some of them are pretty funny, though. They are some good ones. They are pretty funny.
There's drama. Well, I also forgot, man. I call this one show, it's called Under the Boat, but it's not really that's what it's called. It's called Below Deck. So I like that. That's actually a pretty cool show, man. You watch the guys that are on the yacht and they're working on the yacht. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I don't miss my wife and I. That's our go-to show on Mondays after work. Because it airs Sundays. Yeah, Below Deck. Because it airs on Sundays really late.
Yeah.
So we'll watch it on Mondays when we get home. Deck, we'll have our dinner and watch Below Deck. We don't miss a single episode of any season of Below Deck.
Yeah, me too, man. That's how I am too.
Same with the Walking Dead.
No, I haven't gotten.
I'm still behind on Walking Dead.
Yeah, Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, the new one with Michonne and Rick. We just
finished. I haven't watched that at all. None of that crap.
Have y'all ever watched that show called Alone?
Alone? Yes.
Where they take show. They take like six or 12 people and they drop them off in remote places in Canada. On this island off of Canada.
Sounds
Mark,
good.
Martin, this is right up your alley. And you just see how long.
I see that big
I think if they make it to 100 days, they get $1 million.
Oh my God.
Well, it's either you make it 100 days or you're the last one to
the
not
last
tap
one
out.
Standing. Yep.
Are you naked and afraid or are you?
No. Oh, no. You got
draws on.
Yeah.
I can do that. No problem.
Yeah, you have to survive using the environment. So you have to fish. So you have to. Yeah, it's crazy.
So before I got on the show, did you guys mention UFC 300? Did you guys talk about that?
No, yet? Not yet.
We're going to.
I want to get back to the movies, man. What'd you think of Conor McGregor and the new?
My God!
All right, you want truthful or you want me to be
truthful?
I'll be truthful.
Okay, man. I think Conor McGregor stole the show. I think he did a fantastic job in it. I think
the fuck
movie
is everybody.
Hey, but look, I think
that was my favorite part, dude.
I think the movie itself was not. It was horrible. It obviously was not Roadhouse like the sequel. It was just a movie called Roadhouse.
Right.
They should have left it like that and not try to do a sequel at all.
They shouldn't have kept the original names from the original movie.
No,
should have been totally different characters.
When she walks in, the first thing she says is, "I have a roadhouse." What the hell is a roadhouse? You have a roadhouse. What is a roadhouse?
You have a bar.
Yeah,
Texas
I have a bar. It's called Roadhouse. No, but I think
Texas Roadhouse.
Honestly, man, I think Conor McGregor did a fantastic job for his first movie. Man, he did great. I think they messed up and they should have let Chael Sonnen be the rich guy that was hiring everybody. Chael Sonnen would have killed that part. Chael Sonnen would have killed that part, man. Other than that, it was obviously we all watched it. I mean, I wanted to see it because I'm a huge original Roadhouse fan. Probably seen that movie 1,000 times, but yeah. Conor did a great job. That's all I can say. I'm not
it was
fan
a very,
of the movie,
to me,
but
it was
Conor
a very
a
entertaining
job.
Movie.
Yeah.
Very entertaining
better
movie.
Better than I thought.
Yeah, it was better than I thought so too, man. I was pretty much not wanting to watch it until my wife was like, "Let's watch this movie." I was like, "All right," and I was like, "All right."
I was a bouncer for 10 years, so I was like, "Hell yeah, this is my movie."
The original
Roadhouse too.
Yeah,
The Roadhouse too. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah,
bro, I can say that I have one thing that these guys do not have. I've seen you fight, I think 4 times.
Oh.
Yeah, and you fought at Extreme Shootout back in 1999. This was when the UFC was taking off.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Extreme
Shootout, was a long time ago, man. And then again in 2001, like me and my friends, we would go to Blockbuster Video and look for all the old UFC tapes, Pride tapes. And when we found out, you know, they were having an event like that down here, we went. I saw you.
Was that in McAllen, Texas?
McAllen and Mission. McAllen is the world's fattest city in America, 10 years in a row, folks. 10 years in a row. And get this, it got so fat that it absorbed the two cities next to it. So now Edinburgh and Mission, Texas are included in that statistic.
down in McAllen, man, that was some crazy stuff because at that time it was still bare knuckle. We weren't using gloves at that time. I fought down there a few times. Actually, I brought in Tito Ortiz when Tito was just first coming out, and I put Tito up on a huge billboard, and he had his first billboard because we put him up there. Yeah, that was that's pretty crazy.
That's awesome. McAllen, dude. That Texas. Was a long time ago. McAllen, yeah. Texas.
good times down there.
Wow.
And you won all those fights.
What's that?
You won all those fights.
I did win quite a few down there. Yeah. I lost a couple too, but I did win. I won a tournament down there. I had to fight three times in one night one time. Yep. That was pretty interesting.
So how old are you? Because I never looked that up.
How old am I? I got all these gray hairs. I
shave them all.
I do dye it up for the films, but
there you go.
I say I'm 23 years old with 30 years of experience.
There you go.
So I'm 50, I like that.
I'm 53, but I'm 23 years old with 30 years experience. So,
bro, you run circles around 23 year olds.
Thank you, man. I spar with them every day, man. These guys, they could be my kids, man. They tell me I'm tough young, for an old though. Man. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm 45 chasing 7 year old twins. I know exactly how that shit
goes. Oh shit, Shannon. So, do you play golf?
I do play golf.
Oh, he's a huge golfer.
Man, bro, can you not see what's going on in the back?
I was
going
to say.
We got a Gus.
Who's in the leaderboard right now?
You've won several tournaments.
Oh, DeChambeau's up right now. He's
oh, okay.
Yeah,
DeChambeau. Well, I play golf. I don't know if you can see my clubs right here in the back.
Ah, nice. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I play a lot of golf, man.
Well, we should go play sometime. You guys ever come out to Arizona? We'll play right here at the 500 Club. It's one of the best courses in Arizona.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. I have a buddy so this is crazy. It's a small world, okay? My really, really good friend of mine, him and his wife, live out in Arizona. They live close to, it's not Flagstaff, it's the fancier city out there.
Scottsdale.
There you go. They live close by there. And he met your wife on Southwest Airlines because him and his wife are flight attendants.
Oh, awesome.
And he texts me. He's like, hey, do you know Shannon Rich? I'm like, do I know Shannon Rich? Come on, bro. He's like, yeah, I worked with his wife. I was like, oh, that's freaking amazing.
What's his name?
John Hoffman.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll let her know.
Yeah, let her know. He's a huge fan of yours, so he wanted me to say hi to you, so...
Yeah, it's
John Hoffman.
It's a small world, man. You go places, you meet people, and someone knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool that so he's always inviting me to go out there to Arizona, you know, to go play. So
come out, man. We'll go play.
I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna let him know that you want to go play some golf and
let's do it.
Yeah, man. We'll go play some 18, man, for sure.
Yeah. That'd be fun. I play for the VGA, which is Veterans Golf Association. I've won I've won Arizona State Championships twice. I'm an avid golfer. I love golf, man. If I could play three, 4 days a week, I will.
Right on. What's your handicap right now?
Now it's probably at least like a 10. I was down to a 7, but
wow.
I'm like a 10 now. I haven't played so much.
What's your handicap, Mark?
His right shoulder, my lower back.
I haven't played golf in forever, so I don't know.
Well, you guys can only play a couple months out of the year in Canada. You guys
That's snow true.
All the time. What part of Canada are you in?
Niagara Falls.
New York area. Okay.
Yeah. Come to Florida, baby. We can play golf all year round.
Where in Florida are you at?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Right on. I love Florida. Florida's a good spot.
Come on.
Yeah. But my favorite place is Mexico. I love Mexico, man.
Mexico's just about 4 hours away from me. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Échale gas, compadre.
I love Cabo San Lucas. That's probably one of my favorite spots.
Cabo is so beautiful.
And right here in Arizona, 3 hour drive, we got Rocky Point, which is Puerto Peñasco. Mm-hmm. Such a nice
Peñasco.
Place,
yep.
It's a hidden gem, man. Not too many people know about it. It's it's really southern Arizona is what it is. Yep. Everybody from Arizona goes out on Puerto Peñasco. It's a good time.
Yeah, for sure. Puerto Peñasco, man, I've been there so many times. It's just like anytime we go to Arizona, we have to go there.
Dude, if you come out here, let's go to Puerto Peñasco, man. We'll go to Rocky Point, play golf there. They have a really nice course. Las Palomas Golf Course.
Yeah, I love Arizona.
Las Palomas Golf Resort. It's one of the best places down there.
I love Arizona, man. I've been out there a couple of times in the past few years, and every time I go, it's great. Scottsdale's great. Phoenix is good. It's a beautiful country, man. I love it.
Yeah, I stay away from Tucson, but yeah, everything else is a good spot.
Yep.
Bro, Tucson is like the fucking armpit of...
Shut up. You're from New Mexico, Roberto.
No, Tucson is like Southern California, dude. It's,
Roberto lives like next to John Jones.
Oh, I do.
Are you serious?
Damn.
Yeah, he's like
did you see probably about...
Man, you got to keep the dude out of trouble.
Did you see the cops the other night at his house?
Yes.
No, I did not. Come on, bro. I did not see you. I wanted
to. Yes, you did. Don't lie, bro. You're the one who called him. You were like, hey.
You recorded it. Don't lie. You recorded it.
I was the cameraman.
He's assaulting some people trying to take his piss. He heard.
TMZ was right on the spot.
Yep.
No diddy. No
diddy.
Dang,
Roberto was calling TMZ. Oh, man.
I was. I sold everything, all the footage and the pictures to TMZ. So
Gotcha.
No, John Jones actually lives like maybe 25, 30 minutes from where I live.
Well,
yeah.
Is that Albuquerque? You live in Albuquerque?
Albuquerque. Yep. I live in Rio Rancho.
Hey, I'll let you know because I'm supposed to make a movie out there. Me and Randy Couture.
Okay.
We're gonna be making a movie in New Mexico, so I'll let you know. I'll have you come out to the set. We'll hang out.
Oh hell yeah, man! Let me know. Is it gonna be in Albuquerque?
Yeah.
Because the Netflix. Is it with Netflix?
No, I'm not sure who's.
Okay.
I don't know who's putting it out. I just know that I got in touch, got contacted, and they're gonna start filming it out there probably in another month.
Bro, okay. I would love to fly out there and do some photographs of that.
Yeah, man. Let me know, and I'll go out there and hang out, bro.
Okay,
that'll be fun. Lots of fun, man. I get to finally meet the legend here.
Legend, I ain't broke. I can buy a plane ticket. The hell,
come on out.
Do you get recognized out when you're out and about? A lot of people come up to you.
I do. You know, it's really funny, man. Arizona, not so much, and this is where I live. But right. if I go like Texas, if I go to Canada, if I go to Japan, China, Russia, I get swarmed. Yeah, a lot of people know who I am, want my pick. It's funny, Hawaii. There's a lot of Japanese people that go to Hawaii. So I'll be on a beach in Hawaii and people will come up and ask me for my autograph and pictures and stuff. That's really awesome, dude. My wife and I were in Vegas one time and it was funny because the streets were packed. And I said, you know, it's funny that no one has come up to me for a picture. And she's like, oh, you think you're famous. I go, no, it's just that sometimes usually that happens. And not 2 seconds later, someone says, shot in the cabin.
There you go.
They wanted a picture. She goes, you planted them there. You planted them. I'm like, no, I didn't plant them there.
It was a plan.
And then another guy, like 5 minutes later, another guy came up, shot in the cabin. So yeah. And it's actually cool because, you know, it's nice to be important, but most important to be nice. And I'm always there to sign an autograph, take a picture, hang out with the kids. I do a lot of anti-bully assemblies. I go around the country talking to kids, and I'll always stop, take a picture, sign an autograph.
You know,
not for the fans or nobody, you know what I mean?
I was just going to say that, man. You get these guys that are, you know, UFC champs or, you know, top five, and they could give two shits about you. And you know, like, dude, you know, we're the ones that are paying your salary. If it wasn't for us and the fans and us doing the podcast, us having a website and publishing these articles and, you know, being so active on social media and putting your name out there, you ain't nothing without us.
Not nothing so without the fans and the media. Hey,
exactly.
I was in a place one time. It was here in Arizona, actually. It was a Rage in a Cage. Roland Serra was putting on a show. He had, get this, Anderson Silva, when he was the champion, came because he had a fighter from Brazil fighting on the card. There was a kid. I swear to God, the kid must have been 9, 10 years old. He had went home and got a printout of Anderson Silva's pictures, printed it out on his computer. He came up to Anderson and he says, will you sign this? Anderson, through his translator, said, I'll only sign for 10 grand. I'm not signing any pictures or nothing. I need 10 grand to sign. I looked at him and I'm like, wow, dude, I will not be your fan ever again. I don't care how good you are. That's a slap in the face if you want to sign for a kid. That was uncalled for. I saw it with my own eyes.
That's disappointing.
If I would have heard that, I'd be like, ah, you're bullshitting me. No, I saw it with my own eyes, and after that, I had no more respect for the guy. So,
man, that's some, you know, and
pretty dick shit.
Yeah,
I remember. So here in Albuquerque, we have a guy. His name is Mr. Chavez. We call him Karate Chavez. And he put on an event. This was like maybe 26 years ago, something like that, when I had my last fight. And the one thing that always stuck to me was when he gathered all of us, you know, in the locker room, and he said, look, you guys have to be a role model to the kids that are watching you out there. Be respectful. If they want to come up to you and say hi, say hi. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
And say hi to these kids, because these kids see you as a movie star or as a hero, because you're in there in the cage putting it all on the line. And that's what these kids want to be when they grow up.
And you never know what kid you're going to touch.
Don't record that.
You can touch don't their record life, man. That. There's something that, you know, you touch a spot in their life, change their life, man. You never know what kid you're going to make a change in their life where they're like, wow, you know what? That guy took the time out to talk to me, and you have that little one-on-one interaction. And that could change their whole entire life, you know?
Yeah, sometimes for sure, it just takes that one little spark in the kid.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some positive reinforcement. You know, let them know that you're there and that you listen and you see them. Yeah.
I got a question.
For sure.
So in the very beginning, when you were in fights, you were you said 91?
Yeah, 91.
So going into a fight, you didn't know jack shit about who you're fighting, you know, the style, anything like that. Like, how would you do your homework on who you were fighting, or you just went and said, you know what, I'm just going to fucking win?
There was literally no homework on any fighter, because this is what happened. They'd have the chicken fights, the dog fights, and then by then I'm pretty much drunk or, you know, whatever, on whatever. And then they would have – the people would fight, and what they would do is we were at Plaza de Toros in Nogales, and they would literally match you up. You know, hey, we got this gringo. Who wants to fight the gringo? Dude, 20 people raise their hand, and they just pick the guy. They come out, and you fight. And it was usually a Hispanic boxer, and I was a wrestler, and I didn't know jiu-jitsu at the time, but, you know, I would wrestle, take them down, double leg, rear choke. I mean, that's what I did pretty much everybody I fought. And they eventually quit paying me because I was beating up all the guys.
Bro, I saw a highlight earlier. You did a damn kick to this dude's chin, and I think it's 13 seconds. I'm like, holy shit.
So that was John Wood.
Dude, just geeked up.
And in Texas. And that was a hook kick, lead leg hook kick.
Yes.
And if you go on the internet and you go MMA super kick, that's the first one that comes up. It's got like 200,000 views. It's me kicking John Wood in the head, knocking him out.
Yeah, the one I watched, they must have showed that bitch three times in a row, and that third one was in slow-mo. I said, they doing this dude dirty on here.
And that was on Inside MMA with Boss Rutten. So Boss at the time.
That
Boss
was Rutten, the... best
he said
show.
At the time, he said that was the best knockout he'd ever seen at the time.
I love that show.
That was kind of cool. That was kind of cool.
Right? Yeah, that show was pretty cool. After Access TV.
Yeah.
By the time you fought Sakuraba, you probably had film on him, right? Knew what he was about.
I knew a lot about him, but what people don't know is during that fight, I had a broken leg. So if you watch that fight, or if you look at the pictures, you'll see tape all the way up to my knee, pretty much mid-calf. On both legs, because I had a fractured shin, and so I fought him with a broken leg, and end up getting leg locked with that broken leg. So that's what happens. But you know, if it wasn't for Don Fry calling me up on my birthday, September 27th, and then we fought October 31st, Halloween night in Japan, main event. That's what changed my life, man. That literally launched me into the limelight and let me be Shannon the Cannon. I mean, without Sakuraba's fight, that was the highlight of my life, man. Fighting in front of, you know, 90,000 fans. And, dude, fighting in Pride is the pinnacle, man. It's like the Super Bowl. You know,
Pride
World
was
Series.
The shit.
And I fought three times in Pride. You know, I fought three Pride fights and had a great time, man. I love Japan. That launched me into doing pro wrestling.
What are some of your favorite fights?
Japan. favorite fights. Oh man,
the ones that he won. Duh. What kind of question is that, Mark?
Guys, even fights that I lost were still fun. You know what I mean? I was that guy who would literally fight anyone, anywhere, anytime. That was my mantra. And for so long, promoters would call me up last minute, like 1 day notice, 3 days notice, 2 days notice. Shannon, our main event backed out. Can you come up and fight? Yeah, sure, I'll fight. I mean, that's literally how I fought so many times. You know?
That's how you got that record, homeboy. Yeah. You never said no.
There was a guy named.
There
was a promoter for Extreme Challenge. His name is Imani Cox. He had a fighter named Daryl Guthmiller. Now, Daryl Guthmiller was getting ready to go to the UFC. He was like 16-0. He was undefeated, 14-0, 16-0, something like that, undefeated. They brought me out because if he beat me, he was going to the UFC. So they were all hyped up on him. They knew that they were bringing me out to lose, and he was going to win. So we're the main event. We're going out to fight. I armbarred him in under a minute and blew his career. He actually retired after that fight. Never fought again. So
wow,
Damn. Just depends on what day, which Shannon shows up. You either win or lose.
Shannon, the dream. How many hype trains did you derail?
I've derailed several.
Is that a good feeling?
It is a good feeling, you know, because
hell yeah,
I'm that guy that's totally. You know, if you look at my record, shit, man, there's only one or two fights that went to the second round. Every fight was in the first round. You would either win by knockout, get knocked out, submission, or out. I mean, win, lose, or draw. I was there to fight for as long as I had it in me, and I gave the fans a fight. I mean, I was there to either knock you out or you knock me out, or I'm going to submit you, you submit me. But it was not a boring – I've never had a boring fight, let's put it that way. That's why promoters loved me. That's why they kept bringing me back, because they're like, watch this guy fight. You'll see why they call him the cannon. The guy's just, he's just out there, man.
You shot out, baby. Yeah, I'm getting it. Yeah. So,
am I best fighter? Absolutely not, man. I've got a ton of losses, but I got a ton of wins, you know? So,
yeah.
I got another question.
All right.
So all this shit coming out with the interview on Holly Holm, and they're talking about this stuff that Ronda Rousey said in her book that, you know, she had, you know, coming off a concussion and, you know, blase, that, you know, why isn't she considered the GOAT in, you know, women's MMA? What's your take on that?
I lost respect for Ronda Rousey when she lost her fight, went in the dressing room and said she was going to kill herself. I know that there are several fighters that deal with mental issues. But that's not something you do. You don't quit. You don't say you're going to kill yourself. That doesn't even make sense to me. So, I mean, I know she's got demons, and so I'm glad that she worked those out and she didn't kill herself, because that's just terrible. I hate suicide. I hate people that have, you know, mental disability, mental problems like that. Even myself, you have the highs of the highs and you have the lows of the lows, man. It's a roller coaster. But if you lose a fight and then you say you're going to kill yourself, I got no respect for that. Man.
My father, he committed suicide. Yeah. So when people talk about it, I was like, if you talk about it, you're full of shit. Because if you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
Right. And you just do it or don't do it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm the same way with you. I lost a lot of respect for her and how she handled her first loss.
Right. Now, and let's talk about Ronda Rousey for a second.
Now, I did say in a comment that she might be the pioneer. She's definitely a pioneer in women's MMA. She definitely brought it to the forefront. You know, she made Dana eat crow and said, you know, there'll never be women fighting in the UFC. She proved that wrong. But Amanda Nunes will be the GOAT for a long time.
Until Kayla Harrison gets in there.
Oh, shit.
Mark my words, guys. Kayla Harrison's going to come and wreck that whole women's division. She's 16-1 right now. She's fighting Holly
Holm. She can wreck me. What's up?
And her first fight in the UFC, man. Come on. She's 16-1. She's coming in. Everybody's overlooking her. I'm telling you, man. Olympic judo gold medalist. You got to remember, Ronda Rousey was a bronze medalist.
Right.
Kayla is a gold medalist. It's a little bit different. But anyway, let's talk about Ronda real quick. If Ronda would have stayed doing what got her to the UFC and got her to all her wins, which is, let me get a hold of you, let me judo toss you, let me get you in an armbar, and Amen. Just call it a day, nobody Amen. Would have beat her. She would have been undefeated because nobody could stop her armbar. The thing that got her. Ronda's head is Ronda's coach and that everybody movement. Else said, Ronda, you got a box. You got to be
fraud.
A striker.
Edmund.
You got to be a striker. And that coach is a retard.
He is, dude.
He is.
Fraud. Man.
So, yeah. So she tries to box a boxer when she fought Holly Holm. And she got her head kicked off. So yep.
I won a lot of money on that.
Oh my god, that was no so good.
People doubted me.
My door.
Yeah, I yeah, that fight against Ronda, I predicted the round and how she was gonna win on Tapology. And oh, bro,
big money. I was on.
Yes, sir.
Big money.
Man, I remember my wife and I, we were in Texas in Houston, and you know, we actually bought that pay-per-view because it was Holly Holm. You know, our heart is here in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Sure.
And yeah, man, that was probably the only time I ever paid for a pay-per-view.
Dude, don't say that shit.
I know, right?
Alexis, don't record that.
We stream it.
Don't record that. I'm just kidding. No.
We beep that out.
That was crazy.
What's funny is when Holly Holm won that fight. I said to my friend was watching it with me. I said, "Now you're gonna get to see Cupcake win the belt." I said, "Cause Cupcake Misha Tate ain't gonna give up on trying to get to the body. She's gonna try to take her to the ground." And that's exactly what happened to Holly Holm.
Yep.
Yeah, Misha was a wrestler. Misha did what Misha does. It's wrestling.
Exactly.
Yep. A wrestler versus a boxer. She took Holly and beat her with wrestling. So exactly. What did Holly do? Holly learned how to wrestle.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's gonna be an epic.
I'm looking, since we talked about it, heck, I'm going to bring it up. UFC 300, I'm looking at two fights, Holly Holm, Kayla Harrison. But my main event for me, because Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill, I'm not even interested in that fight, to be honest with you. Oh, my main event is Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway.
Oh, yeah.
For me,
yes, that's going to be a bloody fight.
That's
who you got?
Main event.
Who you got?
Oh, man, dude.
Everybody.
I love Justin Gaethje. He's from Arizona. I love the kid, but I'm gonna have to give it to Max Holloway. I like Max in this fight. Max is a hard guy to fight, and he has Max the same fighting style. He's got the same fighting style as Justin Gaethje. Justin's 25-4. Max is 25-7. But I just think Max is a better technician.
Yes, Max is a better boxer. He has better footwork, and that dude has a chin of iron.
And he has these kicks. If you watch him, what he does that 1-2 spinning back kick.
Yep.
He does that better than anybody in the MMA game.
Mm-hmm.
1-2 spinning back kick. Justin's here's how Justin should win if he were to do it, but he likes to put on the fight and, you know, put on the show. If Justin would wrestle, he would beat everybody. He would never lose because Justin is a stud wrestler, but he wants to just box.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
He's
man.
Crazy, man.
I don't get it. He just
wants to put on the show. He's got Ronda coach.
Yeah, he does. But seriously, Justin Gaethje is a stud wrestler, and if he would use his wrestling, nobody would beat him. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I got Holloway. I think it's going to be a hard-fought decision. He's going to get the nod, and I expect a lot of blood.
I mean, both of them got a chin, dude. And another thing I like about it is they're both nonstop.
Yep.
If you look at the volume of punches that connect,
ooh, it's coming.
It's going to be high. It might be the highest that we've ever seen. It's going to be a good fight. And then, are you guys?
I'm excited to see Bo Nickel too.
That's what I was gonna say, man. Bo Nickel 5-0, baby. He's gonna fight Cody Brundage, who's 10-5. I'm going with Bo Nickel because why?
Bo Nickel,
wrestler. He's a stud wrestler. If Bo gets you down, you ain't getting up. That's plain and simple. Bo's gonna get you down. He's gonna ride you. Get the riding time. I'd love to see him throw some, but his wrestling is just too good. He's got really good.
Yeah, I think he's definitely gonna win that. He is right now. Let me see the odds on that one. I know they're just insane odds.
It's got to be insane because he's 10. He's 5-0. He's undefeated. Yeah. So
he's a -2500. Cody Brundage is sitting as a +1100, and I expect those odds to get a little wider.
Well, you know what? Tomorrow. Just for fun, you should put 20 on Brundage. You might hit.
Exactly. Imagine if he wins. I mean, he was supposed to lose his last two fights. He was like on a 3-fight win streak, and then he won his last two fights.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I'm not in. What about the Chinese girls? The two Chinese girls are fighting each other.
Oh,
they look like fucking twins.
Yeah, Wei Li.
Right?
That's China and China. Crime,
the Chinese one's gonna win.
I'm betting on the Chinese girl.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Wei Li Zhang is going to destroy Xiaonan Yan. Yan has great hands. She's a great, you know, she's a great striker, but her fight with Carla Esparza, she got exposed.
I said the same thing.
She got ragdolled, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think she's learned enough ground game to match the intensity of Weili Zhang. Weili Zhang is
Weili can wrestle, man. She's a stud wrestler. Yeah,
she's a hitter, man.
Yeah, she'll throw him. So yeah, she'll be a good fight.
She fights like her life depends on it.
It probably does. I'm just saying. Probably does.
You know, the Chinese government probably like
they don't play that.
Oh, Tabernacle, here we go.
You know, you must win.
You must win.
I'm excited about
the. You must bring the belt back again.
I'm excited about Calvin Kattar and Aljo. Aljo moving up in weight. Calvin Kattar coming back after his freak injury.
Yeah,
that's going to be a fun fight.
That one should be pretty good. I actually, you know what, man? Almost all these fights look great. Like, the matchmaking. I mean, the prelims could be main event. Main event could be prelims. I mean, they all look from the prelims to the main event.
Yeah, I was.
I mean, it opens up with Figueiredo versus Cody Barger.
Bro, that's what I was gonna say.
Cody Barger.
That's gonna be a banger.
Cody is opening up the show, bro. Are you kidding me? That's gonna be good.
Yeah, that's what I was telling the fellas here. I was like, before we went live, I was like, 300 starting off with the banger. Davis de Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. I mean, come on.
Let me ask you this. Face. How many fight bonuses are we going to see?
Woo!
This could be every.
Did you hear what Dana White's going
to
do?
They bumped it up to 300K.
300,000 for a fight bonus.
Fight bonuses.
Ooh. No way.
Yes, sir.
300K. He announced
knockout,
it today.
Knockout submission.
It doesn't matter. If you got the bonuses, went up to 300K for just this special night.
Hey, that's gonna make out. These so, guys go so out
that's
there
gonna
and
make these guys go the out there exactly and are put you, on a fucking show.
Are
we're gonna get at least five. We'll get at least five.
Do you guys know if they're using the new MMA gloves?
They're going to. They announced I think didn't they announce
tomorrow.
It today?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. They announced the gloves tomorrow and they're expected to use them at UFC 300.
So they are gonna use those. Yeah, I just saw those.
Yeah, I think it's tonight. I think they have their
what's the new design?
Yeah, I thought it was tonight.
Yeah.
Well, they
I don't know, man.
All different colors. They got gold. They have gold ones. They're pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the Bellator and the Pride gloves because they curve and your fingers.
Yep.
Yeah. The UFC gloves are like this, so you get stuck in the eye. But Pride and Bellator, the glove was curved, so you didn't get fingered in the, you know, get your eye poked.
Hey, so what do you think about Chris Weidman's win?
I think it was bullshit. I'll tell you right here. No, look at me. It was bullshit. It should have been no contest. It should have been a no contest, and or he should have got disqualified and let the other guy win.
Yes.
You can't poke a guy four times in the eye and say, "Oh, sorry, guys, I win because I poked you in the eye."
Yeah.
I think that referee is horrible. That's the most horrible ref we have in the MMA.
Well,
we need to get him out of there.
I think
is it the short little Brock Lesnar looking dude?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, Cesar Almeida, who just won his fight in the last event, he called out Chris Weidman. I think that's probably going to happen, and that might be
his retirement fight.
Yeah, that is retirement fight for sure.
Maybe. Just saying.
That's fun.
And then Jim Miller. Fighting on 300. You know, he fought on 100, 200, now on 300.
Do you hear what he's going to do for 400?
What?
He's going to be the ring card girl.
Oh, I thought he was retiring.
Sorry, Jim.
So he's going to be in all of them.
He's going to be in all of them.
Four. Yeah, yeah. No, it's cool.
Hey, yeah, Jim Miller.
Miller's tough, man. I think you got to give it to him, man, for longevity. The guy still gets out there and bangs. And I've never seen a boring Jim Miller fight. You know what I mean? Yeah. He always comes to bang, dude. So it's going to be cool.
What do you mean longevity? You're still fighting, bro.
I am still fighting. But I'm a rare guy, man. I'm not right, man. I'm not wrong. I got beat up a lot as a kid. And then I found out that I could fight. And I liked it. And so I like to fight.
So nice. So, like to fight.
But you can't even tell. I've talked to guys that, I mean, they sound paunchy, man. They sound paunchy. And
Joe Riggs.
Considering how many fights. Yeah. Joe Riggs. it's crazy. I mean, just to hear that you've had like nearly 200 fights, probably more. That's insane, man.
Yeah. And I'm 26-3 bare knuckle. I got the current BKFC International Super Fight World Title. 26 yeah. and 3 with 26 wins by knockout.
Yes, sir.
Still, and you can still form sentences. I can't understand a shit.
I appreciate that.
That's crazy.
And Don Fry. I mean, I love Don Fry, but man, you can't understand a word he says. Hey, kid, what's going on?
That's Sean Strickland's dad. Little known fact.
They got to be related. I think they're
related. They have to be, man. They have to be related.
That's a bad analogy because
could be related, dude. Their DNA probably is really
right.
I don't know. I just, you know, we're just a bunch of guys talking here. You know,
that's what this show is all about, bro.
You know what I'd like to do though is get some help. I'd like to advocate to Dana White to put me in the UFC Hall of Fame for the most MMA fights of any fighter. Because, did I fight in UFC? No, but I fought in Pride and UFC bought Pride.
Yeah.
So that gives me that connection. That gives me that link. And
absolutely, man.
I have more fights than anybody in the world, and I want to make that claim.
You're gonna add one real soon.
Yeah, but that's boxing, so that's not
it's all right. Right. It's another fight.
It is another fight.
So who you got in that fight with Shannon Briggs and Rampage?
Well, I love Quentin to death.
But.
Look, man, if Quentin touches his chin, he'll put him to sleep. Quentin hits hard. A lot of people don't realize how hard Quentin hits. Watch his fight with Chuck Liddell. He put lights out, man. Chuck was in his prime, and Quentin knocked him out. You know, we're talking about B.A. Baracus, 18.
Yep.
You can't mess with B.A., man.
So our friend of the show, and he was a co-host during COVID, Mr. David Potter, you got something going on with him, huh?
We'll see. We'll see if that happens. If it happens, I'm smashing his face.
He said he's going to slap your cheeks.
He's going to slap my cheeks? Is that what he said?
He said he's going to clap your legendary cheeks in Canada.
There you go.
Okay. What's this about?
There's a pro wrestling organization in Canada that I am currently the heavyweight champion for Heart Legacy Wrestling, and they're doing an event where I was supposed to have a match with Mark Coleman, but Mark got the fire incident, and then I got to fight with in Qatar, so I wasn't going to be able to make it. And then they're really trying hard to put together a match with myself and David Potter. So if it happens, great. David, be careful what you wish for. That's all I say. Yeah, David thinks pro wrestling is all fun and games, man. And oh, it's fake. And this, I mean,
yeah, guys, I did this for 20 years, bro.
Guys, let me tell you something about pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is fake because you kind of know who's going to win.
Right.
But there's a lot that happens between when that bell rings and the bell rings. Let's put it that way. In between that time, there's a lot of shit that can happen, man. And,
Can I tell you a little story about something that happened to me in the independent scene?
Let's see.
Now I'm big as shit. You know, I'm 6'6", 315.
Yeah.
We did a Royal Rumble type thing, right? And then I was in the main event. Well, by the time the main event happened, the damn referee was so nervous that he started drinking, right? So when he went out there, he ruined the final spot.
Oh, right? My God.
And I'm sitting there, you know, got to do pin for the 1-2-3 so we could take it home. And I'm sitting there looking at the referee. I'm going, count, mother, right?
Look, yeah. I'm sorry, like, bro. I was nervous.
As soon as it was done, I grabbed him by the back of the shirt. I dragged him in the back and beat the shit out of him.
And it wasn't fake.
No. When we got in the back, I was like, don't ever, ever fucking drink on a card again.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry. I fucked up. I'm like, yeah. You fucked up big time because you made us look stupid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, people don't realize that it takes both wrestlers. It takes the referee. It takes the managers. It takes a lot of people to make that work. You know what I mean? There's something that makes it work and to make it good performance. It takes everybody. If somebody's messing up, it doesn't look right.
Right.
Yeah. 100%.
And Mario Yamasaki was never the same again.
Ouch! Ouch!
Fucking Rudy.
For those that don't know, Mario Yamasaki was voted most horrible referee in the UFC.
Yeah.
Trash.
You guys are mean. You guys are mean. You guys are bullies, man.
Yeah, big time. Bullies.
We are.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just keep drinking your ginger ale.
He's drinking poutine through a straw.
Oh, shit. Hey. So wrestling runs,
looking ass.
Professional wrestling runs deep in my family. My uncle used to be in the Lucha Libre. He was El Demonio Rojo. After we finish our podcast, I'll send you the picture of him and in his mask and in his whole getup. I saw him wrestle, let's see, probably about like 4 or 5 times. And I met a lot of the famous Mexican wrestlers. You know, you got Santos, Mil Máscaras, El Demonio Rojo.
Nacho Libre, Ramses.
Dos Caras Jr.
Yeah. Mimi Santos, the little midget Santos. Yeah, he was, man. Those guys can throw it down.
Chapo Guerrero.
I wrestled
with Chavo Guerrero.
Nice.
And I was on a same card with Rey Mysterio and Kurt Angle.
Okay. Okay.
That was pretty fun.
That's awesome.
Right on.
Wrestled with the guy that was in the he's in the WWE now. He's a English guy. I don't even know who the hell he is, but he we were on the same card in China, and he was just a big dickhead, man. I can't this guy was
William Regal.
Yeah, it's him.
How did I know?
That was a dick, bro. Man, he was. I didn't like him, man.
He's the one that made Goldberg actually work and fucked Goldberg all the way up in WCW. Like, this dude can't wrestle for shit.
Yeah, man, it was. We were in the back signing autographs when the promoter came out. He says, "Okay, man, sign the poster." So I went to sign the poster, and he goes, "Hey, usually the main event signs it first." Like, give a fuck, man. Just sign the damn poster.
Who cares?
That's great.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Shannon, so do you have kids?
I do. I have a son, man, 25 years old.
What does he think of his legend dad?
Man, he doesn't really talk about it, man. He's all into Star Wars, man. He likes The Mandalorian.
Right there, Rudy Lara.
Man, I'm a Star Wars fan. Yeah, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, too. But my son is, man, he's into it, dude. He has the costume. He actually made it. He handmade this costume. His costume is better than the real Star Wars costumes. He is badass, man. So he just went to this big Comic-Con Star Wars thing in Florida. He does some really cool stuff, man. So I this is my dream, man. I hope I can get on like a Mandalorian or a Star Wars film, and I bring him out there and let him.
That'd be awesome, dude.
That's what I want to do.
Shannon, Rudy needs to send you a picture of all his shit that he has, bro.
Oh.
You're gonna be amazed of all the Star Wars stuff.
Are you a Gargorgian fan? Those pig guys. They're pigs. They had the big clubs. Gargorgians.
Yeah. I like those guys. Yeah. They were the guards. The Gamorrean guards. In Jabba's palace.
So yep. there was two, and one of them died, and the other one is Barry Hanley. Barry's a good friend of mine. And
no
Barry,
shit.
Barry has the little action figures, man. I'll try to get you one.
No shit. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Try to get you one. Have him sign it for you. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a damn Grogu tattooed on my calf now. You got to send me a pig too, goddamn.
send me a picture of that.
Show it. I got Joey, show it right now. Stand up and show it.
Send me a picture of that, man. I'll send that to Barry and be, look, Barry, this guy got a tattoo of you.
No, he has a tattoo of Grogu.
I got Grogu.
Baby Yoda.
Oh, Baby Yoda.
Yeah, Gamorrean guards are awesome.
You put the Baby Yoda on you? Oh,
nice. Hell yeah.
Baby Yoda on you?
Like the first
guy, are you gay?
You try me if you want to.
I didn't know you were gay.
I got three kids that prove otherwise, homeboy.
You know, I'm such a Star Wars fan that I named my kids Luke and Leia.
No, you did not.
Yeah.
You got me beat.
Luke and Leia.
Yep, Luke and Leia.
Where'd your Canadian guy go?
I don't know.
Probably.
You get some Canadian bacon.
You guys don't let him talk? I mean, he guy hasn't talked too much.
He doesn't really talk too much.
He's shy.
He's kind of quiet. He's shy.
Gotta get some beer, eh?
We keep him around so we can bully him.
Yeah. Drink some beer, eh? That's so funny that you saw me fight in McAllen, Texas, dude. That extreme shootout, that was
a long time ago, dude. Me and my friends, I'm telling you, we used to watch all, we would collect the UFC fights. We'd go all over the valley, you know, drive an hour away just to find these videos. And we started watching them and we got real into it. So anytime there was an event around here, we would go. I got to see you. I didn't think anything of it until later down the road. I was like, there's man, I've seen this guy fight.
What the hell's going on here?
That is too funny, man. That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Mark, you got anything for Mr. Shannon here?
Alive or dead, somebody that you like to spend the day with.
What'd you say?
What?
Alive or dead, a celebrity that you like
to spend the day with. Are you trying to date this man? What the hell are you doing?
Did you say if I know a celebrity?
Okay, alive or dead, a celebrity that you would like to spend the day with.
A celebrity I would like to spend the day with. Oh, man. I would like to spend the day with Donald Trump.
I would too.
And I would like to play golf with Donald Trump. I think that would be
he'll smoke your ass, man.
Yeah, he probably would play. Little short story is I'm sponsored by Battle Tested Equipment. They make crazy AR-15s, custom stuff for your AR. And he's really good friends with Don Jr. So Don Jr. came out to Arizona. We all went out shooting, took out the Hummer, and we're shooting. So I got to spend the day shooting with Donald Trump Jr. That was really cool.
That's awesome.
And then, side note, my wife is on a flight with his fiance, Guilfoyle, and they were talking, and she's like, oh, my husband's out shooting. And she goes, oh, my boyfriend's out shooting. Who's your boyfriend? Who's your husband? Come to find out, it was me and Don Jr., and it was my wife and Guilfoyle. They were talking. The next day,
that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, the next day we go to some big rally out here, and then we're backstage with Ken Guilfoyle and Donald Trump Jr. We're backstage hanging out with them at Turning Point, and we go up on stage and we're all hanging out. It was really cool, man. It was really cool. But yeah, if I could hang out with somebody, I'd hang out with Donald Trump, man. I think Donald Trump is a cool guy. I've never met him. I'd really like to meet him. I know a lot of celebrities. I know a lot of, like, you know, so-called celebrities. Donald Trump, man, he's definitely the one for me.
Good question, Mark. I like that question, Mark.
That was a good remark.
Yeah. So in the comments, our friend, Anthony Gomez, he says, okay, in wrestling, this is to you, Shannon. What do you know about Santa Fe's Bruiser Frank Brody?
Bruiser Frank Brody. I don't really know too much about him, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know. I'm sorry about that. I will look. But I'm gonna look him up. Bruiser Brody out of New Mexico. Yeah, I'm gonna look him up.
Bruiser Brody was a badass dude.
Was he a badass?
Yeah, he made he scared The Undertaker.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he was like 6'8", 6'9", you know, probably 300 pounds. If you look up pictures, man, his face was scarred up, dude. He would do all the hardcore shit before it was hardcore.
Oh, man.
But he ended up getting stabbed and killed in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, those guys. Damn. Nuts. I watched a big documentary on Farmer Burns, and that was some. I watched the thing on Gotch, Farmer Burns, all the catch can. That was some cool stuff, man. These guys back in the day were real wrestlers.
Yeah, they were.
You know, those guys were real wrestlers.
They lived their gimmick, boy.
They did, man. And that's the thing. They would actually be real wrestlers, and they pull up to a city and be like, okay, we'll wrestle anybody you got. So you never knew who you were going to wrestle. They'd bring somebody out. Heck, man, it was a shoot, you know? It wasn't a work. It was a shoot. It was real.
You can go on YouTube and look up any story about Ming, and the stories about Ming are off the chain. That was like one dude you didn't fuck with. There's stories where he would poke them in the eye and hook their eye, pop their eye out,
Jesus,
bite their nose off. Like people would go to the bars. Like, there's a bar right here by Jacksonville International Airport that a bunch of them used to hang out at. It was called the Max. You know, Andre the Giant.
Oh man, that guy.
Flair, shit like that.
Andre.
You know, people would come in and just think that they can damn go try them. Like, why would you do that? right? Bomb a beer, say, hey man, thanks for coming.
Why would you do that?
Like, next thing you know, you're missing a knob.
You know, do you get people that try to challenge you out in public, like shit with you?
I have, but usually I mean, this is what I say. I mean, to be honest, I tell people, I say, hey man, what do you do for a living? They're like, I drive a truck. I'm like, man, you know what? If I were to go in a truck right now and try to back it up and park it in that little tight spot, I bet I couldn't do it. I probably would wreck. But you do it. You could do it with your eyes closed because that's what you do for a living. I fight for a living. Are you sure this is what you want to do? And they usually are like, yeah, no. So,
if you're a truck driver, you ain't got the cardio to fight.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, man, I try to stay away from fights and stuff. But if I got to put my hands on somebody, I will.
Better watch it, Mark.
I just saw a reel on Instagram or something. They're interviewing Michael Bisping, and somebody said something about him getting an altercation in public. He's like, I got one in New Orleans. He's like, you know, I was watching some kids playing with the drum, the upside down.
Oh yeah,
buckets. Playing drums. He said, the buckets. He's like, I got my phone out. I'm being a tourist. I'm watching with my wife, whatever. Dude jumps in my face. Can't record. He's like, yeah, the fuck I can. It's a public. And gets in his face again. You can't record. The fuck I can, yeah, right? So then next thing you know, dude's like up in his face, and he's like, suck my dick. And he's like, what? See, the dude hits him, right? He said he instantly starts laughing. He's like, you talked all that shit, and you punched me, and that's all you got? He said he just looked at his wife and said, let's go. I like, ought to hit him back. I'm sorry.
Save that guy's life.
He did.
Yeah, there's a difference when you're a fighter and you do that for a living versus some punk kid that thinks that they can fight and they've had their high school fights or whatever.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah, it's your body is
different.
Different. It is very different.
And I have learned over the years, because I have a short fuse. So I've learned over the years kind of try to relax a little bit. I still will get into it, but I try not to. Let's put it that way. I try not to. I'm ex-military. I don't know if you guys knew that. I was ex-military. I spent some time in Iraq during the war. I was a bodyguard for the United States Ambassador in Iraq.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I did bodyguard work for Colin Powell, Congressman Survived Donald Rumsfeld. I do security for Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb. He's getting ready to run for Senate. So, you know, I try not to get in trouble because, you know, I got a badge and I carry a gun. Arizona, everybody has a gun. So, I mean, if you cross the line, pretty much you're going to be in a shootout. So
we might be crossing paths soon. You know, I work for a nonprofit, and we have a new program down in my area helping veterans. It's a veterans assistance program. And, you know, the company I work for is based out of Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
So they're looking to expand this program that we've started down here over there in Arizona. So if we do, it'd be great to, you know, to collaborate with you and you know, get these people
You ever take them out to the range?
No, that's what we're going to be doing. We're looking to secure some funds to help with our mental program aspect of the program. You know, getting these guys enrolled into, like a jujitsu gym, mental health, equestrian rides.
There's several gyms out here that get free training to veterans, you know what I mean? So there's a lot you can do for that. I'm always down to help veterans. Anything I can do, I'll help you out. I know Randy Couture, he helps a lot of veterans out too. So, I mean, the MMA community is, you know, definitely supports the veterans.
Absolutely. That's so awesome, man.
If there's anything I can do, let me know.
Absolutely.
I got a question that's not fight related.
All right.
You sound like a man's man.
I try to be.
What's sitting in the driveway?
Let's get into my boy
because I'm a car guy. Let's go.
You're gonna take my man card.
Oh shit!
And I picked it out. My wife said I could have it. My wife said I could have a truck. I picked this out instead. I got the XT5 Cadillac, and the reason I got that is because my golf clubs fit in it really nice and neat. It's good on gas. But do I want the Raptor? I do want the Raptor. I want the Raptor. I want the Dodge Rebel. I'm looking at the Toyota Tundra. I want a big truck. I want to get rid of the Cadillac and drive a truck.
But I thought you were going to say something like, you know, a Kia Sportage.
A Tesla.
I'm just glad you said
a Tesla.
A Pinto.
No, man, I got the XT5 Cadillac, and I love it. I mean,
is that a little SUV?
Yeah, yeah, it's a little SUV Cadillac. Yeah, it's
better than Mark Red. Mark Red's a moose.
To change.
A moose.
I don't ride a moose.
Let me ask you, Mark, have you ever rode a moose? You ever
no,
roped one?
I have not.
See, that's what I would try to do if I lived there, man. I try to rope a moose.
Have you seen how big those things are?
They're
amazing.
Huge.
Amazing.
They're huge. Horse. They're like a horse with horns.
They'll kill me.
They're bigger than a horse.
Yeah, they're big. They're big. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Hey, so we've touched a little bit on UFC 300. I think it's time to talk about some outside the cage news, Roberto.
Yeah.
Outside the cage news.
Shannon, we always do an outside the cage news where we talk about things that are not fight related.
Okay.
And yeah, so Rudy's got some topics that we want to touch on.
Oh, let's have some topics.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought this headline was crazy.
I have a topic too.
Okay.
So this first topic, it's let me see if I can share my screen just so you guys can see what I'm talking about. Cicadas are nature's weirdos. They pee stronger than us, and an STD can turn them into zombies. What the fuck?
Jesus.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
What kind of shit do
you look this up?
How do you find this?
I don't know.
Yeah, how find you find this?
He's like, no, no,
no. Of course it does.
I'm looking up STD cures, and they're talking about cicadas.
There's a deadly STD, a fungus that turns cicadas into zombies and causes their private parts to fall off.
Wow.
There's going to be a lot of trans people eating cicadas.
I did not
know. All right.
Damn.
Trillions of cicadas are set to emerge across the U.S. in the biggest invasion in centuries. So you're going to see a bunch of people in California eating these things by the handful.
It's a new delicacy.
New delicacy.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? What a story,
that is,
bro.
That is pretty crazy.
What's your story?
Mine's really not a story. Mine is more or less a thought. Like, what do you think? I'll ask all four of you guys. There are people in the United States. They just had this big demonstration in New York, and they're chanting, "Death to America." How does that make you feel, man?
I'll let you guys go first because you know me.
Death to America. That, to me, is dumb. That is the dumbest thing you could ever say living in this free country.
Thank you.
We have to. I stress this so much that we have to practice and we have to continue to show and use our rights that are given to us. We have to, because if we don't use our rights, they're going to get taken away from us.
Absolutely.
It's just like a muscle. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
100%.
So you have to do it. People need to learn their constitutional rights. They need to read the Bill of Rights. There's so many ignorant people out there that get so pissed off of, let's just say, for example, you're out there public filming, like what Joey was saying, you know, or you're taking public pictures on a public sidewalk. People get pissed off, but yet as soon as you walk out the house, there's probably a Telsa right there recording you. There's a Ring camera across the street recording
you. Such a Mexican, Roberto.
I mean, come on, dude. But yeah, death to America is the most. It's the dumbest thing you could ever say. And if you don't like it, then get the fuck out of here and go somewhere else.
Look, America needs to be strong. America's strong. I mean, you got Democrats, you got Republicans, and I understand that they bicker and go back and forth. But we're still Americans. When you bring over these other people that come to America, then they start
illegally
chanting, "Death to America." Americans need to step up and kick the shit out of those people, man. Get them out of here. Because
the problem is when the government is telling you come to New York and we'll give you a debit card with $10,000 on it. You don't have to show an ID. You don't have to show That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
The problem is the leadership. The problem is the leadership and the leaders that are running this country and letting these people slide. A real leader would say, you know what? These people, I want them locked up and I want their green cards revoked and sent back to the hellhole that they came from. If you want to chant death to America, you're going to chant death to America from some third world country that you came from.
Now, my thing too is you can tell, and we've seen it during the COVID. California shut down, New York shut down. They were the last ones like really to open up. To me, and this is just my opinion. To me, it really feels like what they want is for people to be government assisted.
Of course. Like
they were trying to shut down the small 100%. Business and fund the corporations that are funded by the government. So they need that government handout to live off of. Where bring that fucking energy to Florida. We vibe different. Everybody down here has got a gun. Our mayor or our governor said you can open, you know, no concealed weapons.
Yeah.
You know, we were wide open during COVID.
Yeah, we're in Arizona, we're open carry and concealed weapons. You don't need a concealed carry. You can do a concealed or open carry. You're good to go. Guys, I go to the border. I've been to the border. I've seen it. I can tell you how to fix the border problem in one day. Right now, what happens is these people cross the border illegally. They sit there and they wait for the Border Patrol to pick them up. Yep. The Border Patrol picks them up. They take them to a place in Tucson, Arizona, because we're in the southern sector, and they process them. They process these people and they give them a $2,500 gift card.
Yep.
They give them a cell phone, and then they give them an airline ticket anywhere they want to go. Now, how do you stop that? Well, you process those people and you say, okay, you know what? We're going to process you. Here's your court date in 4 years, go back to Mexico, and in 4 years you come back. You turn them right around and put them back in Mexico.
Hearing the Mexican president Obrador saying that he's not going to do that. He doesn't care. He's trying to extort United States and saying that he wants $3 billion for him to take any action. You know, it's crazy because I remember back in the day in Mexico, if you tried to cross into Mexico illegally, they would shoot you. They would shoot you, and they just stopped doing that because the cartels, they can
make a profit. The cartels are making so much money having them pay to take them to America. So yeah, they're making more money trafficking people than they are selling drugs.
Yeah, and in my opinion, instead of spending all these billions of dollars in wars in other countries, I think we need to bring it down here. You know what? Invest that money into going after these cartels that are killing our people, bringing these illegals in over the border. You know, that's what a real leader would do, but we don't have a real leader right now.
Dude, we just spent all this money on Ukraine, and now we're spending money on bridges. I mean, guys, we don't have money to spend. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Right.
So, I don't know. Anyway, that was just my thing. What do you guys think about people chanting death to America? That pisses me off. Being a veteran, especially after an oath. Domestic, that oath stands forever. It's not just a time while I was in the military. That oath is forever. So when I hear that, it really pisses me off. If I were to see somebody burning an American flag or chanting death to America and I'm there, then I'm probably going to get arrested because I'm going to do something. I can't let that hang. I can't let that
go. Did you know that the Biden administration shifted funds from veterans assistance programs and gave it to illegals? They kicked veterans out of their areas.
Yes, they did.
I heard the story that I think it was in Chicago or Illinois somewhere. They kicked the residents out of a housing area, which were veterans, and they were actually having to pay for this housing, this low-income housing, and they gave it to illegals for free.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What they're doing. Yeah, they're taking over all the hotels. They're taking over school. Sometimes they're taking the kids out and letting the people go. It's just it's maddening. We need something to happen, guys. I don't know, but
I hate to see a lot of the veterans, you know, being homeless, living in their cars or living in the streets, and then they get shit on, you know, and the cops are over here trying to bully them. It's like, dude, these guys and gals fought for our fucking country. You're treating them this way? Like, come on, man.
I hate not only veterans being homeless, but anybody being homeless. This is America, for sure. America. No one should be homeless in America. You know what I mean? The homeless problem is out of control, and I think it's the mental state of a lot of people. We got to give mental health people. We got to do some more stuff for that to help people out. But, man, it's...